of course, the countries, Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua, with Russia relationships. Why this region matters, with all of its rich resources and rare earth elements. You've got the lithium triangle, which is needed for technology today. 60% of the world's lithium is in the lithium triangle. You have Venezuela's resources as well, with oil. Copper, gold, I mean, it's just off the charts. We have a lot to do. This region matters. It has a lot to do with national security, and we need to step up our game.
First, let us dispense of whether or not Nicolas Maduro was a bad hombre in the parlance of George W. Bush, or an evil dictator that had to be removed for the purposes of freedom and democracy. The United States does not care about either. In adversaries like China and North Korea, they are not pursuing the overthrow of those countries any more than they are to nation build in the Yemen or overthrow the absolute monarchy of their ally, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. We're not going to be talking about narco-trafficking, communism, dictators, democracy, or anything of the sort. What we will be looking at is the real motivations behind Donald Trump's 21st century updated version of the Monroe Doctrine. Also, before we begin, it's important to understand that this entire display and its show of force was not only for Latin America, but for everyone. The photos of Maduro in custody were circulated widely over the past day, with his tracksuit pants sagging in the humiliating first arrest images, while being surrounded by DEA agents posing triumphantly with their handcuffed prize. It was clear in its intent. The American empire is unbounded, and no longer even pretending that it ever was.
Hola amigos, yo soy su nuevo presidente, el señor Donaldo J. Trumpo. Your ex-presidente, el señor Maduro, is no longer your presidente. He kept talking shit, you know, and fucking around, though, and he ultimately found out, though. Anyway, we're going to make Venezuela grande again. Mucho grande. El bigger y el better than ever before. We're going to drill baby drill. We're going to have a big, beautiful fiesta, all the tacos you want. Mucho mariachi, sexy mamacitas, and delicious margaritas. And President Trump is going to be a DJ, okay? Muchas gracias, muchachos. Y let's make el Venezuela grande again. Arriba el Venezuela, amigos.
Almost no one is in shock about the blatant double standards on display with regards to Venezuela. In 2022, when Russian troops entered Ukraine, Putin claimed he was protecting ethnic Russians from brutality. The response? 3 years of war, crippling sanctions, and a global trade ban. Yet, when the United States strikes a sovereign nation like Venezuela, killing at least 100 people, abducting its leader, Nicolas Maduro, well, Trump declares they're demanding a surrender. They're seizing resources and infrastructure, and now running the country indefinitely and all for the benefit of the United States, and reiterating that the United States is in charge and will run it until a proper transition occurs. And the response to this? Silence from much of the world, with media broadcasting press conferences where U.S. officials congratulate themselves like triumphant heroes, having positioned themselves to control the world's largest proven oil reserves. The stakes couldn't be higher. Looking at this from the American perspective, success in Venezuela absolutely hinges on its ability to restructure and revive a 1974-style petrodollar pact, forcing the Venezuelans to exclusively sell their oil in U.S. dollars, thus boosting dollar demand and funneling petrodollars back into U.S. treasuries and breathing new life into the currency amid rising global de-dollarization pressures. Strip away all of the usual humanitarian excuses and the platitudes about democracy, and the truth emerges. What we're looking at here is the attempt to re-cement the petrodollar that has underpinned U.S. economic supremacy for decades. Venezuela, for its part, unfortunately for it, had threatened to help dismantle that system. To understand the desperation in the American establishment, Since 1913, when monetary control shifted into private interests or private hands, the dollar has lost over 96% of its value, and not by accident, but through deliberate cycles of war, crises, and money creation. Wars in 1917 and 1941 were funded by debt. There was gold confiscation in 1933, severing the gold link in 1971, and massive bailouts in 2008. And in 2020 alone, the equivalent of 50 to 65% of the entire 20th century's accumulated money supply was printed. Ever wonder why your Big Mac has gotten so expensive? And it's this rot of the dollar that connects it to Venezuela. Sanctions, seizures, even kidnappings are not about one leader, but enforcing a dollar that is losing its global grip. When money can't persuade, force steps in. When a global reserve currency is strong, it exports rules. Now that it is weakening, it is exporting enforcers. Venezuela, for its part, sits atop the planet's largest proven reserves, 303 billion barrels of mostly heavy crude from the vast Orinoco Belt, plus 200 trillion cubic feet of untapped gas, representing about 20% of global oil. And U.S. refineries on the Gulf Coast just so happen to be perfectly suited for this heavy grade of crude. But how does this connect to the petrodollar, and why is this not the real threat? Well, the real threat is that since 2018, Venezuela announced that it would free itself from the dollar. And since then, they haven't been selling their oil in U.S. dollars. They've been selling it in practically anything else. They were at the same time petitioning to join BRICS, building direct payment channels to China that bypass SWIFT entirely, and sitting on enough oil to fund de-dollarization for decades. But why does this matter so much? Well, because the entire American financial system has been built atop the petrodollar since 1974, and this has created an enormous artificial demand for dollars worldwide. Every country needs to buy oil, thus every country needs dollars. And thus it lets the United States print unlimited amounts of dollars and export its inflation, while other countries have to actually produce goods and services to buy those dollars. This is the only way that the U.S. has been able to fund its massive military, as well as its welfare state and deficit spending. It has to be understood that the petrodollar is more vital to U.S. hegemony than anything else. I'd also like to highlight the brutal pattern for leaders who challenge the dollar's supremacy, and I've made many videos on this particular subject in the past, and you can find them on my Odyssey channel where they are cataloged. But back in 2000, it was Saddam Hussein that committed Iraq to sell its oil in euros. 3 years later, Iraq was invaded, and the first thing done by U.S. occupation authorities was to switch back the sale of oil into dollars. 3 years later, Saddam was executed. In 2009, Muammar Gaddafi proposed to establish a pan-African currency based on the Libyan gold dinar. By 2011, NATO dropped a healthy dose of freedom from 30,000 feet, and the Gaddafi regime was overthrown. He himself was sodomized to death with a bayonet, and the country descended into anarchy to this day, with the United States leaving in its wake a failed state. And it's no coincidence that Venezuela, while creating non-dollar payment systems, petitioning to join BRICS, whose members are leading the global de-dollarization push, well, it's no coincidence that, obviously, when looking in retrospect, it was only a matter of if, not when, and only a matter of time until the country was attacked one way or another. Had Venezuela joined BRICS with its massive oil and gas reserves, well, this would have sped up the de-dollarization of the global trading system exponentially, and America would never have allowed this to happen. And that is why this invasion happened. That's why this invasion occurred. This is what it's all about, revitalizing the petrodollar. Now, if the U.S. is able to pull off this overthrow of Venezuela, plunder its resources without any major hiccups, and force them to sell oil in dollars, this will be a major, No, a huge win for the United States, at least for now. It will delay the day of reckoning on its national debt, and more importantly, it will reaffirm the dollar's primacy as the world's reserve currency. For how long that is a matter of conjecture. President Trump's broader ambitions, however, for Venezuela remain stalled. His initial vow to take transitional control of the country has, for now, given way to negotiations with the existing authorities. In a recent interview, Trump stated that the U.S. would forego sending an invasion force if the newly installed Vice President Rodriguez complies with Washington's demands, chief among them securing maximum access to Venezuelan oil. He warned that if she fails to cooperate fully, she will pay a very big price, probably bigger than Maduro. While the Venezuelan diaspora in the United States and other places has celebrated the developments ongoing in that country, videos purporting to show similar celebrations in Caracas have already been debunked as misleading, having been filmed years prior. In the capital itself, most people have chosen to stay at home, adopting a cautious wait-and-see approach. President Trump, the candidate who promised no more wars, has nonetheless brandished the threat of further strikes. Yet in doing so, he has exposed his Achilles heel. Any ground invasion requiring boots on the ground would be politically and practically unsustainable in a war-weary America, even in its own hemisphere. Ultimately, President Maduro's arrest and demands for Venezuelan capitulation represents less a profound geopolitical upheaval, given the long history of U.S. manhandling Latin American countries, than a potentially significant domestic political achievement, a huge achievement for the Trump administration. If successful, it would help stem de-dollarization and avert the impending chaos that could follow if de-dollarization gains ground, even partially. This has only just begun. So, what do you guys think? I'm always interested to read the comment section, so leave me your ideas in that comment section. And remember to check to see if you're still subscribed. And if you'd like to help the channel, very much appreciated. Ways of doing so are in the description. And with that, I will see you in the next video. Take care and bye for now.